Hello, and welcome to the Incredible Healing Journals. I'm your host, Lisa Robbins, and today I'm very excited because in this audio, I'll be talking to Yvonne Chamberlain. Now, Yvonne is the passionate author of Why Me, the story of how Yvonne healed herself from deadly black melanoma over 28 years ago. Yvonne was told by doctors she only had 6 weeks to live and was facing amputation of her leg when she made a pivotal decision, one that really changed her life in many ways. She decided to heal herself. Now, 28 years later, Yvonne is a mother, a grandmother, and she still has both her legs. She runs several websites and a blog, and as a life coach, she teaches others to overcome paradigms of previous thinking to heal their bodies and to be in control of their own destiny. Hello, Yvonne. Welcome to our call.
Oh, hi, Lisa. It is just such a privilege to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're here to share your story with us. It's so important that this information gets out to people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the thick of things, I just want to mention that at the end of this call, we'll give details of how people can purchase your empowering book, Why Me, which tells exactly what you did to cure your own cancer, and also to get more information about your other services, life coach, and things like that. So we'll give detailed information about that at the end of the call. Okay, so Yvonne, can you tell us just a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are right now?
Sure. Lisa, life gets busy for all of us, and, you know, it just goes on. And one particular day, I noticed that this black mole on my leg was kind of itchy, and it changed color, and it kind of became a bit raised. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't like the look of that. So I've never been a person that's been sick, and I didn't even have a family doctor. So I was just at the grocery store, and next door to the grocery store was a doctor's office, and I thought, oh, I'll just pop in there and let him have a look at it, because he could just say to me, you know, yes, you need to, you know, do something. So I popped in, and there was no one else in the waiting rooms, and he came out, and he said, yes, you know, I said, I'd like to have a look at my leg, and the color drained out of his face when he looked at it, and I thought, gosh, poor guy, you know, he's not feeling very well. And he looked at me and kind of started stuttering and left me there on the examination table and went into the next room and started making all these phone calls. And he came back into the room and he said, you know, look, I've got some really good news. I've been able to get you into a specialist tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So no problems. Just, you know, go into the specialist. And I thought, gosh, what's, you know, so serious, so bad. And anyway, I just thought, oh, well. So the next day I went into the specialist skin surgeon in the city, and he took me into his room and put me up on the table and took a look at it, and he brought out this gigantic needle, and I'm not a needle person. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, oh, I'm just going to do a biopsy. And I said, and this is how naive I was. I said, what's a biopsy? He said, well, we're just going to cut a bit of this tissue out and send it away to the labs and just check it out. And I thought, oh, man, I've got to get out of here. You know, like I was feeling ill in the stomach just looking at this big, long needle. And I said, you know, I need to go home. My mother, my husband would be so upset if, you know, I didn't all of me come home. I thought, wow, how do I get out of here? So anyway, I ended up talking my way out, and I left. And I was cold and sweaty. And it kind of made me think, these guys all think I've got something really wrong with me. So anyway, I went home, and my purpose was I just wanted to contact my naturopath and say, you know, what do I do? These guys want to, you know, start slicing me up. And so anyway, the naturopath said to me, look, it would be a good idea to go back and get it checked out, because if it is something serious, then we can make some decisions about what you need to do. And if it's nothing, well, then you know it's nothing. So, okay, I went back that afternoon at 5 o'clock, and this skin surgeon was so cross that I had, you know, sort of wasted his time that morning that he stuck this long needle straight into the middle of this black spot that was about the size of my small fingernail. And the pain was so intense that I fainted. And so anyway, they had to resuscitate me, and I was in there for about a half an hour while they were trying to, you know, bring me back around. And so he said, we'll send it away to the lab, and I'll give you a call. So Monday morning, he phoned, and he said, you know, good news and bad news. He said, good news is I want you to come in immediately. We're going to do surgery immediately. And the bad news is it's black melanoma, and it's not looking real good. But, you know, he said, if we get in here immediately, you know, hopefully we can do something to help you. He said, I hope you haven't been walking on your leg over the weekend. Well, I'd been to a wedding and danced until about 3 in the morning, which is a very interesting, I hope you haven't been on your leg. So anyway, I said to him, look, I don't want you to do anything, surgery, nothing. You know, I'm fine. And he said, you don't understand. He said, this is serious. We need to do something urgently. And I just said, no, you don't understand. I don't do surgeries. And he said, Mrs. Chamberlain, if you don't have something done immediately, he said, the maximum we can give you is 6 weeks to live. He said, because the melanoma cells would be released into your bloodstream, and we need to look at that leg. And he said, probably even amputate above the knee joint. And he said, so we need to do that now, not tomorrow, now. And I said, no, you don't understand. It's not going to happen. So that was my scary impact.
Oh, Yvonne?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost you there for a sec. Okay, so, wow, that is unbelievable. And it's so much pressure that they're already putting on people, telling them they only have 6 weeks to live and they're possibly going to amputate. What's going through your mind? You must have been so scared.
Lisa, I was, because I've got 3 small children. You know, I'm never been sick before, and he's saying you've got 6 weeks. And you know, Ian and my husband Ian and I, we hadn't been getting along really well, and I had just told him that I'd had enough of this, you know, relationship that wasn't working, and we didn't talk to each other, and we were fighting all the time. And you know, it was sort of like, well, here's a way for me to die and go to heaven and leave you with a mess, and I don't need to let anybody know that my marriage was in a mess. And then I'm thinking, but I don't want to die. And, you know, it's like, but what's my option here? And it was just like this, it was like an avalanche of fear, an avalanche of confusion, and it's like the insensitiveness of the doctor that just says, look, you're going to be dead in 6 weeks, and I'm it's the shock. Because I'm healthy, I'm well, I'm dancing until 3 in the morning. It's like, what do you mean I'm going to die in 6 weeks? Die, dead. You know, it was like trying to get your head around what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm. So how did you overcome the pressure that they were putting on you to you know, make those decisions right away and have surgery? How did you overcome all that?
Well, when I hung up, the doctor then phoned me back again and said, you know, is it because you don't have medical insurance that you don't want to come in? And I said, no, you don't understand. I don't do surgeries. And I hung up on him. Then he rang me back again, and he said, is it because you're concerned, you know, that your leg is going to be amputated? Don't worry about it. We can get you a prosthesis. It's okay. You know, it's like and I guess he realized that he'd come across too heavy. So now he's trying to back off, be a bit more gentle, talk me into coming in. I just said, no, you don't understand. I am not coming in. And I said, thank you for your concern. I am not coming in. You've got all of me that you're getting. That's it. And, you know, that was early in the morning, and I had to wait until my naturopath, you know, opened up so that I could say, what do I do now? And it was just, the decision was that I would do something alternative and not go for the surgery. Because I figured if you're going to die in 6 weeks, why would you die without a leg and go through all of that pain and discomfort? It's like, you know, if you die, at least die intact.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And obviously that was the best decision you could have made. So
absolutely.
What did other people think, like, you know, friends and family, and did they think you were crazy, or did they try to talk you out of, you know, what you were doing?
Well, when I went to my naturopath, he told me about a clinic that was in Mexico, and he said, you know, let's phone them and see what they have to say. Well, because we live in Australia, and that was the, you know, other side of the world, this was early in the morning, I had to wait until the clinic opened, and, you know, so that waiting time was like mental torture, because you start asking yourself, am I doing the right thing? What about my 3 children? And, you know, people were going, Yvonne, you know, you're crazy. Go in and get this surgery done. Other people have had surgeries done. You know, it might be okay. You know, don't procrastinate. This is stupid. And no one had ever heard of an alternate therapy and going to Mexico. I mean, Mexico was third world. Why would you want to go to a third world country for cancer treatment? And And people said, oh, gee, that's terrible. What are your kids going to do? And it was like an immediate acceptance of you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's they believed the medical diagnosis and the medical belief that I would be dead.
Now, that's a point that I'd like to just talk about a little bit more, because I know that it's very important to you, you know, what people believe about what's capable or how their bodies are capable of healing, or even if they're capable of healing at all. A lot of people don't believe, but I think what you try to portray to people is that you can overcome those old beliefs and change the way your body is, the things that are happening inside your body, and whether it is healing or not.
Absolutely, but when it's a new belief and no one else around you has done it and you're like the first one, it's like the pioneers, you know, the Indian shot at the pioneers, you know, the first one that they see, and it's like, you know, what are you doing? And yet it was like, well, I can't go the medical road. That just wasn't my belief structure. But the resistance that you get from everyone around you because what you're doing is different is an incredible challenge. And Ian actually isolated people from me so that they wouldn't infect me with their negative belief structures. And so where I'm a very social person, if somebody didn't believe that what I was doing was supportive of my goal and supportive of what I needed to do, Ian just didn't let them near me, because, you know, you're holding on with every ounce of belief that you can get, and you don't need people cutting away at your very thin thread of belief.
Yeah.
So it was just an isolation tactic, really.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Because it is, I mean, now there are a lot of people in the world that have healed themselves from all kinds of diseases. But that information is still not available to the general population. It's still being suppressed and held from them. So that's why I think that what you're doing is so important, bringing that information out, your story, so that people actually are motivated to do it themselves.
Mm. Well, because somebody helped me, it's kind of like that movie, Play It Forward. You know, you can't receive and be greedy and hold on to it. It's about give it out. And you know, there have been other people that have, from my recommendation, decided to go naturally. And there are other research. I mean, it wasn't just me. But I have just been another link to give them the faith and belief, you know, to hold on. And to, you can change your physical body. And you can do it. And all you need to know is that other people have done it, and that gives you the belief that possible in the world, possible for me. And if I can do what they've done, then it can work for me as well. And that's it. I cannot have had this amazing miracle for me and not share it with people, because other people are you know, they have a purpose and a destiny as well. And if I can make a difference, then to me that is my total satisfaction.
Absolutely. Excellent. So, Yvonne, did you end up going to Mexico?
I did, and the amazing thing was, Lisa, I didn't have a passport, I didn't have a visa, and this was Monday, and so it was like, you know, I've got to get this urgently, and it was like, you know, I have a spiritual faith, and I just said, well, God, you know that I need a visa and a passport, because I can't get there if I don't have it, and I haven't got a lot of time to get that, and it's kind of like, you know, you ask for guidance, and guidance will come if you're open. And a thought popped into my head about a person that I had met years earlier that was now an Australian senator. So I phoned him up and I said, you know, Baden, I need to get a visa and a passport to the U.S. I told him why. And he goes, well, here, use my name. Here's how you do it. And I had that in 2 days. And I was on the plane on Wednesday morning. And it was just a miracle, because normally visas and passports take 3 or 4 weeks. And,
oh, at
and
least.
I had it. It was one miracle after another.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. So so you went to Mexico, and how long did you stay there?
Well, I actually was there for about 2 weeks, and the reason why was because it was an external cancer, they needed to do a longer treatment, whereas you go to that clinic, and there's stacks of clinics in Mexico, depending on what kind of cancer, that depends on how long you need to be there. Some clinics, they hospitalize you because of the treatment. Some people, it's an outpatient. So I was actually there for 2 weeks, and they treated the cancer externally, and I saw it drying every single day in front of your eyes. You just see this thing withering up. And it was like, wow. And it was just, it was amazing. So, yeah, I was there 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And so how did you feel going through that healing process? Did you know, I mean, just because it was disappearing, how did you know that you were better and that it wasn't coming back?
Well, I guess, Lisa, what I came to understand, and when you're faced with death, you can see what's happening on your leg externally, but then you still have that, you know, element of doubt, you know, what if it doesn't work? So you start doing, you know, your research on what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? And so, you know, I got a hold of some books, you know, to help me in my thinking. There was a book written by Dr. Maxwell Maltz called Psychocybernetics, and it's a pretty, you know, heavy-to-read book. But, you know, I read this book, and it was like, you know, the power of the mind to heal you. And I started realizing that, you know, I had to believe that what I was doing was the right thing. And then I came to understand that, you know, the power of your mind, of negative thoughts and how destructive they could be, and I started evaluating back on what had brought me to that point in my life and realized that, you know, my mental thought process, my negativity, my anger, my resentment, my bitterness, my wanting to get even, just, you know, this huge plethora of negative, angry emotions had brought me to this point in my life where I was not liking me and not liking the world that I was in. And then your mind goes into the solution that says, well, if you don't like you and you don't like the world that you're in, well, I'll take you out of it, because that's what you were telling me subconsciously that you want. And it was like that reality, that realization was such a shock to my system that I began just reading everything that I could get my hands on about the way the mind controls the outcome in our life, and it was an ugly realization for me, but a true realization.
Right. So could you give us maybe an example of something that you did, you know, you apply some application that you did to stop yourself from having all those negative thoughts and feelings?
Lisa, the first thing that happened to me was the revelation that you can change your thoughts. And I didn't think that you could, because thoughts just happen. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm going to think this thought. You know, a thought is just something that comes into your mind. And it's like, so how do I take control of these negative thoughts? And, you know, I realized that some of those negative thoughts came from my attitudes. So by changing my attitudes, I would then change the thoughts. So the attitude was a belief structure that I had embedded in me from previous programming, from my parents, from teachers, from peer group, from media. You have these attitudes and belief structures. So I realized that I had just taken on board everything that had been fed to me, but I needed to make my own decisions about what I believed. And as I started evaluating my value system, my belief structures, then I was able to say, where did that thought and belief come from? I was able to then choose, do I want to keep that belief? Is it serving me? Is it not serving me? I was able to then say, okay, when a negative thought would come in, to evaluate it and say, well, where did that thought come from? And sometimes it was to exchange that negative thought for a positive thought. So if I say to somebody, don't think about pink elephants, straight away you think about pink elephants. You can't say don't think about something, because the moment it's don't think about it, you think about it. So it was the only way to get rid of a negative thought of you're going to die was to change that negative thought and say, you know, I choose to live. I choose to live. And so by changing my affirmations, by changing when a thought would come in, by swapping it to a positive thought, or maybe even challenging the thought and say, well, that's what the doctors think, but, you know, that isn't what I've chosen. And so that was another way that I changed it. So I used a variety of ways to try and control this, the brain cells that had never in the past been controlled at all.
Right. So the, so I think what you're saying is become aware. You became aware that you could even do that. That you know, once you're aware of those negative thoughts coming in, then you could begin to control and manipulate them.
Absolutely. And awareness is the first key to identify that I am thinking that thought, first of all, because, you know, I was never aware of my thoughts before. They were just in your head.
Right.
You know, thoughts of poor me, this is not fair, you know, just victim mentality. And victim mentality is a thought process. And I didn't realize that I was indulging in the party of poor little old me and inviting other people to join me. And, you know, you'd go to the hairdresser and, you know, you'd make a comment about your negative husband and what had happened, and everybody would join in and add their story, and it was like bigger and better and more horrible and more vicious. And so you're just feeding that negative belief structure that men are awful. And it's like, well, who said? You know, and once I change that belief structure, you know, you can see all the negatives in your partner, or you can choose to see all the good stuff. And I had to realize that I was focusing on the negative, and people around me were reinforcing that by saying, well, yeah, my husband does that too. Yeah, my neighbor. Yeah, my dad. Yeah, my brothers. And it was just like constantly reinforcing that belief and making it stronger and stronger. And I had to identify that that's what I was doing and say, I created that belief brick by brick, and now I have to take it down brick by brick. And so I did it by saying, yeah, but this was the good stuff that I saw in him when, you know, we fell in love. And when you start focusing on the good, your whole attitude toward the person, toward the situation, toward the circumstance starts to change if you see the good instead of the bad. And it was just remarkable the changes that happened in our relationship when I started seeing the good instead of the bad, because we all have bad.
Yeah, and then that fosters the good, and it becomes larger. And what you don't focus on, the bad points, you know, seem to become smaller, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, that's excellent, Yvonne. Thank you so much. Now, I just wanted to mention, is there anything else you wanted to say? Is there, you know, do you have any regrets about anything, or is there any advice that you would have for anyone?
Well, my advice would be, you know, that my life was a gift. When my mother gave birth to me, it was a gift. And what I do with my life is up to me. And I just think that when we're there trying to please everybody else and do what everybody else thinks that we should do, the shoulds can get you down, because when you're not doing what you should do, you can feel guilty, then you feel as if you've got to blame, you've got to justify. And so one of the things I did was I just got rid of the shoulds. And we have a joke now, and we say, have you been should on lately? And I chose to get rid of that word out of my life and out of my diary, out of my dictionary. It's instead of saying should, I say I could. You know, I could do this. And by saying I could, it gives me the power of choice. And when you have the power of choice, what happens is you then are responsible, and you are then also accountable. And that just changed me. And it was like I had to ask myself, would I be willing to take personal responsibility for the actions that I was doing in my life? Because up until that point in my life, it was his fault, her fault, my mom's fault, my dad's fault. It was everybody else's fault, not mine. And if you get rid of the shoulds, you can get rid of blame, you can get rid of guilt, you can get rid of fault, and that just gets rid of so many negative feelings by saying, I could.
Yeah.
understand the energy of your words, because our words have energy. And so it was evaluating the words that I was saying, what energy is behind that word. Because our words come from our heart, our belief structure, our value system. So understand the energy that those words have and what those words will do. Mm.
Yes, I have a friend that taught me about words, because you say things, but we're not conscious sometimes of what we're actually saying. Or the meaning of what we're saying. We don't really, you know, think about the real meaning of what we're saying, thinking it means something else, but yet inside ourselves we know what those words mean.
It's something simple like saying my cancer. My is a possessive pronoun. And if I'm trying to get rid of something, why do I keep claiming it, saying my cancer? And I had to realize I'm claiming the cancer when I say my cancer. And we care for, we protect our belongings. And so I had to realize that I was possessing the cancer when I said my cancer. And so instead of saying my cancer, I changed that one word, the power of my, I changed it to this cancer, not my cancer. Because this cancer, this is something that you can discard. But if it's mine, you own it. And the power of that
so
one
simple.
Word.
Yeah, it's such a simple thing to change.
And everybody talks about my cancer. You know, you hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get rid of something that's mine.
Hmm. Very good point. Excellent. Okay, so Yvonne, if anyone wants more information about your websites, could you talk to us about your websites for a minute and just tell us what you're doing there?
Sure. So there's actually several web pages, Lisa. My book, whyme.net.au, is where people can purchase the book. And I've written articles on there, and there's links to other, amazing areas where you can get support and belief, because it's not just about me. It's about all of us together are in a journey against a disease called cancer. And that's all it is. It's a disease, and diseases can be conquered. So Why Me is where you buy my book. And then I have another website called totalhealth.net.au, and people can subscribe there to bi-weekly articles that I send out on health and the way you think and attitudes and nutritional concepts, etc. And on that website, it's really just about a support website of just encouraging people, you know, and giving them new ideas and what they can do. So two different websites. And then I also have Yvonne Chamberlain, in case people couldn't remember the name of the book. So they all interlink, and people can purchase the book there. And I do life coaching as well. And, a lot of that life coaching is just helping people to just things like identify the words that we speak, so that we can say that word in my vocabulary needs to go. Mm-hmm. And so that's the life coaching that I do, helping people to understand the benefit of their sickness and, how can I get that benefit another way so that I don't have to be sick to get what I want.
Oh, very good point again. Excellent. Okay, so they can get more information. Sign up for your biweekly newsletter. Now, is that connected to your blog?
Yes.
The articles that are on your blog?
Yes. Yeah, there's articles on my blog. My husband does all of those amazing things. You know, I just sit here and pump out the articles based on conversations I've had with people, et cetera. So I just organize the articles, and then he does all of that stuff on the computer. He's the brains. We laugh and say, I'm the bubble, and he's the brain. So there's blogs, there's the websites and the articles that come out. And, to register is free. For those biweekly, articles, and it just comes out automatically, and you can read it or you can push delete.
Yeah, and I really encourage people to do that, because the articles are excellent. I've read them, and you'll get so much information out of just the biweekly newsletter and the articles on your blog. I think they're really good information.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Yvonne. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and this information is so crucial for people to understand how important it is to take control of their own health and how much power they actually do have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's cancer is not final. Cancer is a stepping stone to identifying your true purpose and your true destiny.
Exactly. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's just total joy to share, and hopefully, you know, somebody can take something and it can just support them on their journey.
Yeah. Thank you very much.